Okay, so they didn't.
Sorry, sounding good.
I think you got to mute your computer, not the microphone, but the speaker. Fun.
Technology is getting better, but there's always seems to be this kind of holdups. That was me.
I know, but.
Okay.
Are we good?
Okay, yeah, you might have
okay.
to start over.
So repeat
yes,
everything.
Please,
okay.
Please.
Okay, we I just asked if anybody had any suggested changes to the agenda. So sorry, Nick, you missed that. We went through Bill and Graham did not have any suggested edits.
Yeah. I don't have
Can you repeat that?
I don't have any edits either.
Okay, thanks.
There we go.
Yay, okay. There we are.
Okay, Graham made a motion to approve the agenda as it is. Bill seconded, so are you in favor? Okay, thank you. Okay, the meeting minutes. Does anybody have any suggested edits for the limited meeting minutes from November 16th? Okay, motion to approve.
I'll move. You want a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Any suggested edits to the meeting minutes from November 17th? Okay, motion to approve.
So move.
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. Any suggested edits to the February 16th regular meeting minutes? Motion to approve.
So Nick, do this one.
I motion to approve.
Thank you.
Oh, second.
Okay, here we go. Okay, great. Moving on to our nominations. First is the Cloward House. Who's presenting that?
Angie.
Angie, okay. Hi, Angie.
Give me 1 second while I try to share my screen here. Here. And slideshow from the beginning. All right. Are you seeing it?
We are. You may want to move to slideshow mode. There you go.
Yeah. I think there's a little bit of a delay, so sorry about that. There always seems to be a delay with this. So, yeah, I'm bringing you the Cloward residence. Date of construction is 1932, had an extensive remodel in 1949, located at 3787 Diamond Head Road. And it's a territorial or Hawaii modern style residence. And it's characteristic of the style, the deep, double pitched Hawaiian roof with prominent overhangs and board and batten throughout. The architect of the original home is unknown, but it was extensively remodeled in 1949 by Hawaii architects Wimberly and Cook. Like I said, it's located off Diamond Head Road and about 2 miles southeast of Waikiki on the island of Oahu. The parcel is approximately 36,000 square feet and is roughly rectangular in shape, with approximately 120 feet of Pacific Ocean frontage. Early records show the property was owned by Eileen Dowsett White, the daughter of John Dowsett, from whom she and her brother inherited this and many other properties, including large swaths of Nu'uanu and the 7-acre site on Punahou Street that they donated for the Shriners Hospital. At the time of Dowsett White's inheritance, the property was 2.3-some acres that extended from Diamond Head Road all the way down to the ocean. So this light blue section you see here was the original property. There's no evidence that it was ever used by Dowsett White, who moved to California after her marriage in the 1920s. I don't think she ever actually resided on the property for any reason. In the 1940s, she sold it, and it was sold a couple of times during the 1940s. And in 1944, it was purchased and subdivided into 9 lots by Honolulu lawyer A.K. Trask, who retained the beachside lot. These sales were well documented, but they included no information about any buildings on the property that we could find. So in 1949, the Clowards purchased the property for between $50,000 and $75,000, and they immediately hired Wimberly and Cook, who embarked on a remodel of the home. The home was featured as the home of the week in that same year. Another article in the newspaper described the housewarming garden party for 400 in November of 1949. It said, George J. Wimberly, who transformed the old-fashioned home into a modern masterpiece, accompanied Mrs. Cloward with tours of the subtly colored rooms. So the house actually made the paper a few times because they entertained quite a bit. And this is Dr. Ralph B. Cloward, who was a world-renowned neurosurgeon and the only doctor in Hawaii with that specialty until 1948. He moved to Hawaii with his family in 1926. His father was also a prominent Honolulu doctor. And a few of Dr. Cloward's career highlights include volunteering at Tripler Hospital immediately after the December 7, 1941 attack, treating all incoming injuries of head and of the head and spine, and working virtually nonstop for 3 weeks. He also worked at Kaneohe Territorial Hospital, where he performed prefrontal lobotomies on mental patients there, a new procedure at the time. He pioneered many surgical techniques on the brain and spine, and is famous for his technique of using bone grafts to fuse discs. He set up the first bone bank in the United States that provided bone graft material for surgeons, and created a company with his son that manufactured surgical instruments he invented and developed. Dr. Cloward was also a frequent lecturer, prolific author of technical articles, a documentary filmmaker, and an accomplished musician who played first chair clarinet in the Honolulu Symphony. Just last month, this article that I just pulled up here appeared in the Honolulu newspaper about Dr. Cloward. And there's also a really interesting, although long, YouTube interview with Dr. Cloward where he talks about his life and career. Dr. and Mrs. Cloward lived in the house until their deaths in 2000 and 1990, respectively. And the 3787 Diamond Head Road home remained in the Cloward family until its sale in April 2022 to the current owner. The 1949 Wimberly and Cook drawings for alterations to a house for Dr. and Mrs. Ralph B. Cloward were signed by George Wimberly and dated March 22, 1949. The available drawing set did not include an existing plan or a demolition plan, so details of the 1932 original house remain unknown. Newspapers and tax and conveyance information also yielded no descriptive information about the 1932 residents. The 1949 newspaper article that I showed you earlier about the Cloward House renovations only mentioned the home pre-renovation was that the living room was a 54-foot long bowling alley, and walls were chopped up with windows, and there were 6 French doors. That's the only description of the 1932 house we were able to find. The Wimberly and Cook plot plan appears to show that the original footprint of the 1932 house remained even after the 49 renovation by Wimberly. This shows that the work was primarily on the eastern living room, dining room, and library, which were assumed to have been created from the previous bowling alley living room. As you can see from the latest drawing set, the floor plan of the residence remains much as it was in 1949. The major change from this 2002 renovation was this, open lanai on the beach side. Okay, so here we have the flower house. The most visually dominant feature of the residence is the steeply pitched, multi-hipped roof, which responds to the home's irregular floor plan, one- and two-story figuration, which is original. Shed and attic dormers with fixed wooden louvers are located over the living room and dining room, but are not expressed within those rooms at all. Large expanses of lawn and mature landscaping surround the home, and the existing landscape conforms to the landscape as it was described in that 1949 paper article. So it's remained in the same form. I'm sure the plants aren't the same, but the landscaping remains much as it was described. Between the garage and the house is an original breezeway, and the second floor primary suite, as you can see up here, sits above the garage. Another exterior change that was made during the 2002 renovation was this little deck off of the sitting room on the second floor, but that you can't see it anywhere except from this position of this photograph right here. The overhangs around the residence are very deep. Most of them are 4'6" and have exposed rafters that terminate with round copper gutters. Decorative wood brackets are paired at various intervals along the eaves, and the soffits have battens that match the walls. The roof and dormers are sheathed in cedar shape, presumed to be the historic roof covering material, which replaced asphalt shingles when purchased by the current owners. At the rear, overlooking the large lawn to the ocean, is the 2002 lanai addition that I mentioned that effectively ties the house to the site. The living room features open beam ceilings and wide expanses of windows and doors. The ohia flooring and the bleached redwood walls were noted in the 1949 write-up of the house, so those are also original. The dining room has the same finishes and retains the hidden storage closets, as you can see right here. They're very deep, that are on the east and west passages of the dining room. An original corridor to the two downstairs bedrooms, the breezeway beyond, which is that light at the end of the tunnel, and stairs to the primary suite upstairs. And this is the sitting room of the primary suite, and it retains sliding windows that could be either from the 1932 house or the 1949 renovation. We really don't know which. And then out this door is that little deck that was added in 2002. And here's a closer view of the one primary addition to the house since the 1949 Wimberley work, which is this deck on the back of the house. The Cloward residence is significant at the local level under Criterion C as a good example of a Hawaii regional or Hawaii modern style residence. The period of significance is in 1949 for the remodeling work of Wimberley and Cook and for the beginning of the Cloward's decades-long tenure in the home. The home has undergone some changes over the years, but retains the seven aspects of integrity. The 2002 renovation by Raymond Cote, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, added the additional outdoor space that I just showed you, both above the garage and at the back of the house. The current owner has reversed or removed some historically incompatible changes that were made over time. And those are primarily the placement of louvered windows and doors and the new wood shake roof. And that's it.
Thank you, Angie. Okay, any questions from the board for Angie?
I guess, Angie, I think you'd probably call the brackets not purely decorative maybe, huh?
They're not purely decorative, no. But they are decorative.
They are indeed.
No, they definitely serve a purpose, but I think they're lovely.
It's an interesting house from Wimberly's portfolio. Like, I mean, he's normally a modernist. Was there anything that you kind of found? I mean, I'm just curious about it, you know, just kind of in his larger body of work. Like, is it more that he was responding to this original house and working off of that? Or are there any elements in the house that are like, oh, this is clearly signature Wimberly, you know, checkerboard or whatever it was? I saw that one of the photos in the write-up, there was like checkerboard floors. I don't know if there's any cantilevering tables or any other kind of crazy Wimberly moves. We didn't get to see the house. I'm just curious about it.
Yeah, not that we know of. This being an early and what was at this point considered a very minor job for them, we couldn't find anything about this particular house as it relates to Wimberly's beaufort, let's say. And I think you're right. I think you called it that they were just responding to what this couple wanted from this house and didn't really do what they might have done were they working from scratch, let's say.
Sure.
You did mention the kind of the storage area in the dining room. Would that be kind of a modernist?
Yeah. One of the things that they did mention in that article was the house had every modern convenience, all the bells and whistles. One of the reasons for that big wide storage closet between the living room and dining room was that they had a projection system and they would show movies at parties. And the projection system was in the, I'm going to say the left one, the one that's not against the exterior wall. And so there was a little hole up in the top of it. And all of the equipment, which was apparently quite sizable and complicated at the time, according to the article, was in that closet. So that's one thing that they did that was, and the kitchen, they talked a lot about the kitchen in the article, I think because it was geared to women of the 40s, about how it was very innovative. So, I mean, that's not necessarily architectural innovation, but they did do everything that they could to make it as modern as possible, it seems.
Do you think the redwood paneling was from 32, or do you think that was from 49?
The drawings didn't say. The drawings mentioned them. There was a note saying that that's what they were. So it's possible that they could have been from 32, but we just have no way of knowing. So, but they were definitely there in 49.
I think you did an excellent job writing it up.
Thank you.
Learned a lot.
I thought in your, when you first started talking about it, you said double pitched roof, but I didn't see that in the photos.
Did I say double pitched? I meant to say hipped.
Okay. Complex hipped, maybe?
I might have misheard it, but I thought you said double pitched.
Deeply pitched?
Yeah, no, they're not double pitched. Yeah. They're single pitch hip roofs.
Yeah.
I think you said deeply pitched.
Okay. And also when you were talking through the photos and you showed a picture of the hallway with the stair and you said an original passageway, do you mean original 30s or original 49?
We don't know.
Okay.
We just really can't know. I think the floor plan, you know, other than dividing up the, other than adding the dividing walls between the library, the living room, and the dining room, the plan looks, I'm not sure they changed the plan much, honestly, from the 32 house.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Ben.
I'm just going to say, I would hazard the staircase looks like something of the 30s, right?
Yeah. And the windows upstairs, too, or something that we think is from the original house. And the garage wasn't originally a garage. The garage, and I noted this in the nomination that I didn't talk about today, there were three bedrooms in there. One was a maid's quarters, and the other two were for their children. So the garage footprint and form is the same, but they basically gutted it and turned it into a two-car garage with a storage/bedroom/workout where the maid's quarters used to be. So, but that was a change that was made. We don't even know. It was made before the 2002 renovation is all we know.
Nick, did you have any questions?
Yeah, just some technical questions. And maybe I'm looking at a kind of an older copy. What's the period of significance for this?
1949.
Okay. Since it's under sea, and it sounds like there's a lot of some of the remaining fabric and layout from the 1932 house, is it just that those 1932 elements don't really contribute to the significance under sea?
Since we can't really be sure what is 1932 and what isn't, it just seemed better to hear the significance when the house became, lived in full time, I guess is what I'm trying to say, by the flowers.
I think Nick has a good point. When you look at the house plan, you know, the one that was available to Wimberley, it looks to be the 32 plan is what it is more or less now. So I could see the period of significance spanning 32 to 49.
But then wouldn't she need to identify who the 32 architect was?
It could be unknown.
Owner. Yeah, because Clowards were the owner, not the architect.
Right. But I mean, like thinking about the plaque, you know, It's going to say owners, you know, the house's name.
But we have many anonymous.
Sure. Buildings. So is he going to say unknown 32, Wimberley and Cook 49? Yeah.
It has to say the architect just has to be original unknown. You can have a contractor in there, but the contractor needs to be listed as contractor. Architect can be unknown, but needs to be listed as unknown.
Okay. Just technical things. You're moving on. Graham,
I commend you. You're moving well beyond a purview. You've never worried about the plaque before.
I'm just, you know.
I guess at some point, Sophie and I talked a little bit before the meeting about this. At some point, it'd be nice if we get our styles uniform, not criticizing, but territorial style versus Hawaiian, which probably shouldn't be used style, or Hawaiian regional style. Or Hawaii regional style. So we see all those different. So it'd be nice. I would prefer a Hawaii regional style, but this doesn't have some of those signature elements either. It doesn't have the double pitch roof.
Yeah.
Wonder if it original. Yeah. Like we talked about last time, we really do need a glossary, a definition of, you know, what we're going to call these houses.
And you run into that with Spanish colonial revival and Mediterranean as well, because that's never, they overlap a lot too. So.
Yeah.
Cool.
Nick, any other questions?
No other questions for me.
Thank you. Okay. Anybody like to make a motion?
I'd like to make a motion that we are accepting the nominee. So what's our verb?
That we placed the
Clowered house on the state register of historic places. Are we doing national as well? We're recommending it for national, Angie?
Sure. Awesome. I actually didn't ask the owner that question. I forgot to. But yeah, let's go ahead and say yes for now.
Yeah. Oh. Sure.
Yeah, sounds good, right?
Sure, why not? Okay. So, and recommending it for National Register.
Recommend that it be forwarded to the National Register.
Yeah.
As Bill said. Under criteria C. That's it, right? Yeah. So
thank
C.
You.
And that's with the 1949 period of significance.
And from, but you might mention the period of significance.
And, well, she has both dates in there already, right? Or are we just saying it's 49?
We've never actually done that before. We've never actually re-referenced the period of significance in our motions.
Well, unless we've recommended
say as amended.
Comments,
as amended. If she would agree to amend it.
Yeah, I would agree to it. I am actually more solid on just the 49 because that's what we know about. But if you want me to add 32, it's fine. I think it doesn't affect anything really.
I think the Ernest Hara bungalow, we had two periods of significance.
That's right.
So we'll have two distinct periods of significance, not a period of significance.
Well, it's span. I think it's span. 49.
Span, 32 to
40. Span? Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Graham.
Mm-hmm.
Second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Okay, any further discussion? Okay, all in favor of placing the Cloward residence on the state register and recommend it for forward to national register? Okay, unanimous. Thank you, Angie.
All right, thank you. I'll see you later.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank
you. Good job, Angie.
Like I said, I'll see you at the end of the meeting.
She's coming back.
Okay. All right, thank you. Okay, next is the CAM residents. Shorten that up. Don. Hi, Barb.
Bye, Barbara.
Take it away, Don.
So, just kidding.
Yes, that doesn't usually happen, right?
Squeals of grief.
Such a menacing crew, you know, to get through.
Our teeth all get longer when at the board, yeah.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
This isn't the right one.
That's not the right one?
No. Whichever one you emailed is the one that got put up.
This isn't the right one.
You can ignore that. You can ignore it if it's just a typo.
No, but my revision has more pictures, so okay. She didn't see the
pictures. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
The rain wasn't that bad.
The rain wasn't that bad. Wait, to wipe out our thing?
Yesterday.
No, yesterday. To cancel it.
Well, we had to look the safety of the state employees.
Yes,
yeah. That didn't say anything about the safety of the commission members.
Yeah.
I was more worried about getting mud in the houses.
I don't know. I got. It would have been fun to do it yesterday, but I got to admit, I enjoyed having like a reprieve. It was like a snow day or something.
Share for your screen. Oh yeah,
6 or 7 hours giving mud.
I spent most of it talking to the ethics person and to Cindy.
The one that you sent me yesterday.
Yeah, we just spent a day off.
I talked to the ethics woman for almost an hour and a half.
117 slides. How many slides is that one?
We're going to talk about it over lunch.
Okay, I got it. I'm going to full screen it.
Yeah, the one that starts KWO rather than KOW.
Yes. Gotcha. Okay. Share screen.
Got it. Okay. This nomination is for a home right between McCulley and Punahou Street, close to the freeway. Koan and Okan, CAM residents. 1911 Dole Street. It was built in 1924, and I don't have an architect for it, but I'm fairly sure it was probably done by the building company of Allen and Robinson, because Mr. Cam worked for that company as a clerk, so I suspect that they probably provided the plans, but house. It's being nominated to the Hawaii Register and can also be recommended to the national. It's significant on the local level under criterion C as a good example of a vernacular house constructed in Honolulu during the 1920s in a modest craftsman style. This is the house. As you see, it has a hip roof. Originally, the porch wrapped around the side. It was enclosed probably in the 1930s, but very much intact. It has vertical tongue groove walls, single wall, exterior wall, lava rock foundation, and also a porch. Steps going up. Here's the rear of the building also. The kitchen was added on to in the 1950s, and that's the part that's projecting out. Here's a nice little detail, I thought. And I think, again, you know, probably because Mr. Cam was working for Allen & Robinson, they threw in, I think, little details which you don't see on a lot of vernacular houses. So the little bracketing under the windows is one of those examples. Next. Also part of the nomination, behind the house, there's a carport that was built in the 1950s, and a very simple carport with pipe columns, corrugated metal flat roof. To the right, you'll see another building which is not included. This was existing as a single-story house, but then heavily remodeled, and so it's not contributing to the nomination, although the property is. The property runs all the way back to that lava rock wall in the back. Here's the front porch. Typical still this period, although getting late, you still have a door coming in from the front bedroom as well as the double doors going into the house. Next. Here is the interior. The living room, dining room is one large space going in. You have a scored tongue groove, walls, also ceilings, which are all intact. Next, built-in, oh, okay, oh. I showed this. I forgot if I took it. You're good.
Okay.
Yeah. Essentially, here's the front porch. This was part of the front porch. I made into a bedroom. Here's the living room. There's a, you'll see a archway here that goes out to a foyer. I suspect this was all part of the original porch. And so when they enclosed this, they also enclosed here and moved these doors from here to here. You also have what I'm calling informal dining room behind it. It's, I don't know what it is, unless it's a giant butler's pantry, but which it may be, I'm not sure. But essentially the family is using it as a dining room more than this. It's a very simple house that you have your bedrooms running, two of them off the living room, two of them off this side. These two bedrooms share this bath. These two bedrooms use this bath. And then the kitchen is here. There's stairs going down to outside to a basement also. Here's the living room looking back the other way towards the front entry. You can see the large beam sort of spatially demarcates between dining room and living room. Next. Oh, I'll go back to, I think we missed. Can we hear one more back?
It's the pipe.
Oh, no. Okay. I left one out. Okay. Sorry. I thought I had a detail of the buffet. Here's the front door. It's all original except for the knob. Has transom above. Next screen, you have obscure glass windows in there with the starburst pattern, which still remain intact. Next. Here is one of the bedroom doors. All of the five panel, they all remain. Again, all the knobs haven't changed, unfortunately. And you can see, again, another little detail above the frame. They put a little cornice corbetto and again, I think there's another little touch you usually don't see in a house of this type. Next. Here is a, what I call the informal dining or butler pantry. It has a built-in cabinet still remaining. The house has its double-hung windows throughout. in the far right-hand corner was a shrine to a Chinese deity. It's no longer used. The owner of the house, the family still owns the house, although they rent it out and live in the back house. When her brother left the house, he took the dog with him, which is the tradition. The oldest son, the man of the house, gets possession, care for the deity, and so that deity is now in his house. The shrine area still remains next. Here you can see that shrine. Again, a little bracketing underneath.
Do you think it was built as that?
Yes, it was built for that purpose. And then here's the kitchen, which was remodeled in the 50s, but you can still see the 50s cabinetry. That little wall over here, there are steps that go down towards the basement.
As a basement? As a basement?
Yes, I'll show you a picture of it. Here's part of the porch that was enclosed. I thought they did a really good job because the window up facing the front is original, so I think they probably took it and moved it up front. Obviously, the sliding windows are from the 30s with the horizontal panes next. And also, I found that their locking mechanism is not typical, so that's why I'm quite sure it was done in the 30s rather than the 50s. And then here's the door to the basement, five-panel door. It still has its metal handle. And here you can see the basement. It's partly finished, but mostly behind those screens you can see the post and pier foundations. So do you have any questions?
Any questions? Thank you, Don.
Textbook example of a sort of high-end plantation house, low-end craftsman house, don't you think? Yeah, it's really excellent.
You think the basement was originally like that?
I think they finished at some point, probably. But I think there was something there just because of the door and the steps going
down. The foundation is all original.
But I think they probably
quite unusual. You only see that in a couple of really high-end houses, right?
But I think they've redone the concrete in the basement. But you can see remnants where there's still the lava rock down there. That there was a basement there.
Or a cellar or something?
Yeah. Nick, any questions?
No questions for me.
I talked a little bit to Sophie about this, you know, in the instructions, they really make this big deal on style, right?
Yeah.
And how they, you have, I think there's a hierarchy, right? There's a uppercase section and a lowercase section. And so craftsman probably should be an uppercase, should be capitalized at least, right?
Oh, okay.
It's an official style.
Yeah. Craftsman style.
Yeah. Okay.
That small case craftsman stuff.
Oh, okay.
And I don't think there's any way to degender that, right? You can change. You can call craftspeople artisans, but it's not going to ever be called artisan style because it's named after the craftsman journal.
Craftsperson.
Craftsfolk.
But it wasn't called the craftsperson journal. I try to do that in all my writing. I follow those rules.
Are you annotating it as an Allen and Robinson, or are you just going to leave it unknown?
I used to live in a 1927 house in Kapahulu, and like a lot of similarities to that. Yeah. In the little neighborhood where they had like two blocks and they were all the same in reverse. The house that I was in, which is very similar. Yeah.
This house this is one of the few that remain on that street.
Yeah.
Most of the stuff has been replaced.
I like the vertical lattices still in place for the crawl space under the porch.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Don? Would you like to make a motion?
Why don't I try this one? So I move that the CAM residence be listed on the Hawaii Register of Historic Places under criterion C for architecture, and that it be forwarded to the National Register of Historic Places for review.
Thank you.
I'll let Nick second.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion? Okay, all in favor of placing the CAM residence on the Hawaii Register of Historic Places and forwarding or recommending it for the National Register? Okay, unanimous. Thank you, Dom. Next property is the Crockett or Crockett?
Crockett.
Crockett. Yeah, thank you. Yes, yeah. Crockett residence.
Yes, this is the William and Margaret Crockett residence, which is, you know where it is, Kiki. Coco Pie?
Yes.
I'll ask for 15 on Fifth Day Place, which is a little dead end street, and it has a right away down to China Walls, which is more or less without snacks. And I think. Did you go to the Christmas party? Okay, so
I've seen it. That house. Too.
Okay, next. The house was built in 1970, and the architect was a man named Guy Siebert. And Siebert is originally from Switzerland, immigrated to America, worked for several years in Washington, D.C., then moved to Los Angeles, and is best known for working with John Lautner for a number of years. And they were rather close because Siebert and his wife actually lived in Lautner's house with Lautner and his wife and for a number of years. Siebert is mentioned as being one of the ones who gave Lautner a lot of his advice as far as the technology of the concrete, the engineering of it. So he was in Hawaii. I found just one reference that he was here doing construction management. And he's not listed in the city directories at all. He's not listed in the phone books at all. So I'm assuming he's living with somebody somewhere here. And so I don't know who he was working for or anything else at that time. But obviously, Mr. Crockett was lieutenant commander in the Navy and retires out here at Pearl Harbor and has Siebert design the house for him. We're not registering it or nominating it for the Hawaii Register and also can be recommended for the National Register. It's significant on the local level under criterion C as a good example of a house constructed in Honolulu during the 1970s in a modern style. Yeah, here's a drawn picture of the house. This is the house. And the property runs down over here into about over here somewhere. And so this is all part of the property as well.
Wow, cool.
Here you can see the house. He's still working on some of the house. So all the scaffolding you see underneath is not usually there. It's not really cantilevered out. There is large beams coming up to give support to that part of the house. And the beams, he says he's had engineers look at it. There is some rust holes in the beam, but they said it was engineered. It's not going to fall down for 100 years or so, that the rust is not compromising enough. I found it interesting. This little aqueduct here is carrying the sewer to the neighbors over here. This is part of the island. It's all private sewers. Mm-hmm. Here's a view from down below, looking out towards the ocean. This is all part of the property. And here you can see there's steps that go down from the side of the house down to the ocean. Here's the house from the road, two-car garage, parking on the outside continues. And here you see on the side of the garage, you can walk up a walkway which serves as the entranceway next. And then here's looking towards that entry going in. The entire floor of that area is travertine and, or picks up travertine when you hit the steps. And the whole house is also travertine floors. Here you can see the pool and the pool deck. On the right side is pool house, and on the left side is the house itself. I found it interesting the way he handled the roof. Essentially, here's your garage roof. It has these little dips going down, and also how the roof sort of elevates up before you get to the fascia, which angles out. And the house is also the same way with two intersecting shed roofs. The columns that are used are all clay, and Ziebert's wife designed these. Other attractive as well. Next. Here's the pool house. He has some little decorative over on the one side to allow light. Next. And here's the interior. You see again he has jalousies going across the top vertical. Jalousies to provide ventilation to go through. This will be that overhang between the intersection of the two roofs. And then here, big sliding glass doors going out to the pool. Next. The house itself, presents a fairly, closed view. Have a door here to the kitchen. This is windows for an office. Here's the main doors in. This is into a bathroom. This goes into a bathroom. And this also goes into a bedroom bathroom. And again, you can see he used the vertical jalousies to provide ventilation at the three-story level throughout. The lights on the exterior are also used on the interior, copper and original. Here you can see the front door, which is copper clad with wood louvers. Go inside, you come into a foyer area, living room drops down. You also have a lanai to the right off the living room. The sliding doors in the middle of the picture go down to a bedroom length. And here's the lanai. And then here, looking down towards the bedroom wing, which has two children's bedrooms and a master bedroom. And the doors you see opening out goes into a laundry room. Here's one of the children's bedrooms. Again, you can see the sliding doors. Next, here's from the other side looking out. You can see in the corner, there's built-ins throughout the house of using co-op, and that's one of the built-ins in the bedroom for sort of a vanity and chest of drawers. Next. The bedrooms have a partition wall, which doesn't go to the ceiling. On the other side of the partition wall is the bathroom. And each of the bedrooms have a bathroom, which is done in co-op also with a co-op box light above, which still has its original plastic grills. And this is the other bedrooms built in. You can see it better, and also the other bedroom's bathroom. Then you have the master bedroom at the end of the hall. Next. And it has a balcony going around outside. He was so disappointed you didn't get to see the house because he just repaired that. So it's all finished now. And here is that balcony going out. And then the bathroom, again, co-op built-in chest of drawers, a sunken tub, which she needs to fix. It hasn't been finished. And then, next. And then here's the his and her sinks in the bathroom. So that's about it. This is a side note also. Paul McCartney stayed in this house during his first visit to Hawaii, and I forget what year, it was in the early 70s, and wrote several songs there. And other people stayed there as well. Okay. Is there any questions?
That's not part of the history, is it? I mean, you're not including that as its significance?
No, I'm not including it as significant because then I have to start telling what other places did Paul McCartney go? Is the NBC more significant?
Well, it could be part of history, though, without having to go that way.
I put it down as noteworthy.
I would like to note in Shifty's comments, it was noted that the songs that were referenced during this time period did go on to be worldwide hits as part of one of his classic albums. So do keep that in mind.
But there are a lot of celebrities, right, who came here, right?
Yes.
Elvis came here.
Sting
was stayed in the house also.
I heard that story about the hitting the golf balls off the roof or something. Sting? That was Sting.
Okay, yes, well, I didn't hear that story.
Yeah, apparently they came in. The police came and suggested he not do that.
Oh. Not his police.
Good catch, Andrea. See, I was going to make a joke about did Fess Parker come here, but that would be super obscure, right? Because he played Davy Crockett, right?
So, yeah, go ahead, Graham.
Go for it.
I was just to kind of follow up on that. So Don, you're saying kind of the inspiration that Paul McCartney drew from this house and the songs weren't significant enough components of his career to make this eligible under B.
Yeah, it'd just be too much work to go and try and trace where did Paul McCartney go perambulate around the world, or where in the United States are there other places with McCartney associated?
And maybe you don't need that.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there any guidance on the?
Do that if you know that he was here, and you just state that he was here. And
if you start saying for significant under a person, then you have to say what other sites are associated. The NBC will be associated with it because he obviously performed. I don't know. Actually, I don't know. I guess they didn't perform here. I don't know if they were performed here.
Paul McCartney, sure.
He also stayed at the Royal Hawaiian too. So, and on their first trip over here with the Beatles, they all stayed at the Royal Hawaiian at one point. But is there any guidance on the duration of a person staying?
Yeah, I remember vaguely early on instructions. We're not registering every place George Washington slept, and that's what I saw. Paul McCartney slept here.
Well, the same with, I remember doing some nominations of power dams for hydroelectric power dams. And Edison went to all of them, but you can't really claim it has an association with Edison.
But he didn't just sleep there. He wrote music and songs there. Yes, yeah, that became famous.
He did that everywhere.
But he stayed how long? 3 months
that
or something?
That was his job.
Yeah.
A couple weeks.
Yeah,
he might have been writing the songs on the airplane too.
Yeah.
I think you referenced one of the lyrics in the nomination as he's like, I've just seen a sunset on my own again.
Yeah.
Which you had mentioned this view is obviously very well known for sunset views. So
I think being part of history is probably sufficient, right?
I can also note that and then check in with the NPS and sort
Thank
of
you.
Circle
Thank
back.
Thank you, Sophie. That would like be, that as well. Be curious. But then you got We just had a speech by a guy who wrote about parking last night called Parking Paradise. So then Joni Mitchell, she was inspired and she was staying at the Royal Hawaiian, I think. So just obviously inspired, right? And she goes to Foster Botanical Gardens, putting trees in a museum.
Do we know much more about Guy Zeibert? Well, before, I mean, after, I guess. So
he
came here.
What I knew in the nomination.
Yeah.
But, after, well, I think I mentioned afterwards, he went to work for a company in California.
Okay, so he went back to California.
Yeah.
Interesting to know.
I don't know if he's still alive or not, because he had talked to him, I know. And because I asked, how do you know he designed the house? And he said, the realtor told me when I bought the house. And then I talked to Zeebert.
The owner
said,
did.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then I tried to follow up. Zebra doesn't answer the emails anymore. We haven't been able to find any phone numbers for him.
It's interesting to know that a retired lieutenant commander could afford a place in Fort Lock back in those days. I mean, I have a captain in my building. So now you get Marco Polo, I guess.
Were there any other houses that Zebra did that were kind of like notable or anything like that?
I don't know anything.
Yeah, okay. Just curious.
Yeah, in Hawaii, definitely.
Definitely not. Right.
But I don't know what projects he was managing.
I mean, such a design-centric house, you know? I mean, should be curious.
Any other questions, Nick?
No other questions. I think that's Don's explanation is helpful if we're looking at just a couple of weeks. And, you know, I do see there's that kind of connection between sunsets and lyrics, but it's, you know, for me, it's kind of hard to conclusively draw that. You know, there's lots of places that have nice sunsets. So thank you, Don.
Okay. You would like to make a motion?
Graham should have the honor. You're the moderator.
Sure. I'll be happy to make a motion that the Crockett residents be listed on the Hawaii Historic Places Register under criteria C and then forwarded on to the National Register of Historic Places for consideration under criteria C.
Yeah. Thank you.
I say all that, right? Okay.
Okay. Anybody like to second that?
I'll second it.
Thank you. Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. All in favor of placing the Crockett residents on the Hawaii Register of Historic Places and forwarding on to National. Okay, unanimous. Thank you, Don.
Thank you.
Okay, next is the Clark Jr. residence, John Clark Jr. residence.
Well, again, there's a typo. Clark has an E at the end of it.
I was going to say, that's impressive. That is impressive. I was just watching. I just watched the Mary and George last night on TV. Sort of a late Jacobean era.
It was actually built in 1946. And I was really surprised with the group of nominations I got this time that four of them are from the 1940s, and usually we hardly see a house from the 1940s. So this is the first you'll be seeing from the 40s. This isn't the earliest one or the latest. This house was built for John Clark Jr. There's a John Clark Jr. house already on the register, which Asipov designed, which is on the side of Diamond Head, which he registered a number of years ago. But this is the house John Clark lived in before.
Same John Clark.
Yes, same John Clark.
Moved up, huh?
Yeah, exactly. maybe. The house was built in 1946, and additions were put on it in 1952 and 1963. The architect for this one is Joe Cohen, who's not shabby either. So John Clark is, he becomes president of, I think, Hawaiian Trust Company. But its connection with Ina Haina is the fact that during the 20s and 30s, early 40s, Ina Haina was Hein Clark Dairy, and his father was partners with John Hein with the dairy. So John K. Clark Jr. Get a piece of property, and actually before it's even subdivided, I kind of subdivided. His house is built on this property. Kirkwood Place, Kirkwood is his middle name. And also it's the only street in Ina Haina that has telephone poles and electric lines. After that, they decided to underground. But at this point, they hadn't decided to underground. So it's also being considered significant for its associations with the development of Aina Haina. And it's also a good example of modern style house built in the 1940s in Hawaii.
Bless you. She sneezed behind you. We all both said bless you.
So again, this house will be considered for both Hawaii and the National Register under criterion C at the local level. Okay, next. This is the house. It sits up on a hill. Very modern. And I was actually sort of surprised because of most of what's the architect?
Kurt Hogan?
Yeah, Hogan. Yeah. Most of Hogan's houses have hip gablet roofs. So this one's a flat roof. So I was sort of surprised to see that. And but a very interesting house. Essentially, the bedroom wing is the horizontal going out to the right. And then the living room, dining is all projecting area. Carport underneath, the deck on top. Nice. Next. Here you can see Hogan used a glass block for where the bathroom is for that period still. The house is entered from the side, from the other side of the house. You come up some steps and then you go down this narrow passageway. The concrete block brick wall on the right, TNG wall on the left are the two primary materials used in the house. He has, again, vertical jalousies up on the top to provide ventilation for the living room. Okay, you can go into the door, which is still the original. And he continues the wall into the house as a partition wall. And so you come into this little entryway, which then opens up, next slide, into a foyer area. The living room runs off to the right. The dining room kitchen runs off to where I'm standing. Next, here is the living room, has original sliding doors still in place, opens up the whole house. The deck has been redone. Unfortunately, it's a little heavier than I'd like it, but he said the building department was really, and especially the tenants that are living in the house have little kids. So, next, here's the view looking out at the deck. He said originally from this deck, you could see the ocean. The owner didn't live in this house originally, obviously, the current owner. But the current owner lived two houses down. And so he was a neighborhood child. And so he said from here, you could see the ocean until the trees grew up. And here, Hogan has a little built-in in the corner. A nice corner window as well, sliding windows. Looking the other way from the living room, you have the dining room. Kitchen is off to the left here. Going this way to what would have been originally a lanai, then they expanded it into a family room and bedroom as well. This is a buffet built in with koa. It overlooks, and this is all open into a interior courtyard. The kitchen still has its indirect lighting, also still has its cabinetry up above, which has all, I like the sliding windows with no frames at all. Next. And also the window above the sink looking out is also a sliding window with no frames. Going away from the kitchen in the other direction, you'd come into what was originally an lanai area with bedrooms off it. This little boy is about to go into the one bedroom. Here's a bathroom and then a second bedroom here. This is a closet back here behind this built-in bookcase. Here's the master bedroom now. This is what added in 1952. Then next. Then in 1963, they expanded and put this family room out here as well, which has all sliding doors opening on the rear. And here's that little interior courtyard I was talking about. It is totally open. The lattice has a screen in front of it just to keep insects out. And also there's a trellis above. Next slide. And this is also open. It's just a screen. And so rain does go down, but insects stay out. Here is the entry to the master bedroom. I took this picture this way because it has two sets of pocket doors. One with the glass and a new louvered one. I suspect the glass ones were in the 1952. And then for privacy, they added the louvered ones in 1963. Well, so instead of outdoors, you have a family room there. That's my guess, but I don't know.
So there are two sets there.
Yes.
The louvers can close too. Huh?
Yeah. Both can go. There's two, a pair of each. So I'm just... I'll take one picture and show both.
Don't want to waste film.
Exactly. It's still happening. Here is the master bedroom. You can see it has sliding doors for the closet with cloth on it. There's also up here in, there's built-ins in the bathroom as well, which have that. Next. And here is the bathroom, which has glass block to illuminate it. And the glass block is also in the bathroom between the two children, which is the one we saw in the front of the house. And this is sort of interesting that they have shower one side, bathtub other side.
That's cool.
But the glass block window unites it both with transoms and both ventilation. The children's room, this one has a number of built-ins, which I found interesting, especially like next slide. They have plastic handles. And obviously they lost a couple, but they found something to replace them with.
There's a name for that, right? That kind of early plastic?
Oh, yes, there is. And I do know it.
Something Lex or something.
Bakelite.
Bakelite, that's it.
And then this is the other bedroom. Again, the bedrooms have open beam ceilings, built-ins, bookcases on the wall. And this one, the bath. Next picture. The closet has a vent, has open vent above. And this is interesting because it backs on another interior closet, the one that I showed you behind in the living room shot, But anyway, so it actually ventilates that closet as well because there's opening above the back of this closet. And that's the house.
What did the original railing for the deck look like?
It was a rope. It had small posts with the rope running between it. No way they would last.
Yeah, it's not the code anymore. Is the other Clark residence that Ospoff did, is that like that coral block?
Yes.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, it has a pool out front. And yeah. It has all the living room, dining room open out onto the pool.
Right, so like just a series of lanais kind of thing. Yeah. It's in this house too. Were the 52 and 63 renovations also Hogan?
As far as I know, yes.
Cool.
How will the state handle the naming, I wonder?
This is the first. You got to rename the other one the second.
Yeah. Nick, you have any questions?
No questions for me.
Anything else? Sure. Go ahead.
I'm the Ben Bystrom, the owner of 5436. I just wanted to come and see the presentation. Excellent. And thank you very much for reviewing the home. As was pointed out, I grew up next door and actually during my high school and college years, painted that home inside and out and did many repairs for the owners. And now 50 years later, I'm again painting that house. 4 years ago, the Stengels, who owned the property for six decades and maintained it very well, had to build a care home and they agreed to sell it to me. I think in part because I said that I'm going to maintain that home and keep it as is. And so over the last 4 years, I've put a lot of work into it and so forth, termites and various repairs on the plumbing and so forth. But I think the Stengel family and myself feel that it's a good asset to the community, and that it's kind of a classic example of early East Oahu. And when people walk by now, they see me doing some gardening and so forth, because it is quite impressive from the front in the street. I can now, after Don's analysis, give them a more detailed review of the history of the home. So, I plan to continue to maintain the home and work on it and maintain the integrity and character of it. And so that's one of the reasons I applied for this designation. So thank you very much.
Thanks for coming today.
Thank you.
I see you have a nice dinosaur collection.
You were talking a little bit about when it was built, it was pre-Einheina being subdivided up.
Right. Within a year, Einheina was subdivided. And so the building permit was
1946.
Before the subdivision was completed.
Was this then like one of the first houses being built in that area? Is it the first?
I don't know if it's the first, but it definitely would be one, because when I was reading about the subdivision, Hind Corporation, which subdivided Einheina, hired Wimberly and Price to design the houses. And so this one, obviously, by Hogan, is before they went into an agreement with the Wimberly and Price to, and they actually had their own contracting company who was building all the houses. And so this is pre that.
Interesting.
Would you like to make a motion?
I'll do it. I move that the John Clark Jr. residence be listed on the Hawaii Register of Historic Places under criterion C for architecture, and that it
and A.
And A for history. And also I'd like to National Register.
Yes.
I'd like to recommend that it be forwarded to the National Register for consideration for listing.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Okay. Thank you. Great. Any further discussion? Okay. All in favor of placing the Clark residence on the Hawaii Register Historic Places? Thank you. Thanks, Don.
Thank you.
If I can jump in, I had another thought about the Paul McCartney. Has to be the person can't be alive anymore.
Oh, I recommend not, yeah.
Yeah. No, if you're doing an association with a famous person, can't be a living same famous person.
Be. Recommended not.
I think it's more strongly said than recommended not. I think it basically says no.
Well, then how do they do Obama's place where Obama grew up or something like that?
That's
true. Well, that hasn't been listed yet either.
I don't know. Is it?
Is it? Yeah.
Maybe presidents are an exception. I don't know.
Yeah.
What about architects? Can architects still be living?
They
recommend against it. Yeah. Robert Trent Jones Jr., who's golf course, he said, I think that's a little tough request that I have to die to get it registered.
Well, usually they recommend if it's associated with an architect, that falls under criterion C. You don't want to make a criterion
right.
D.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, the only exception would be a famous architect like Frank Lloyd Wright's house or something, then would be under B. Yeah. But even though we all love architects and architecture.
They're not that famous? Okay.
And the famous in a relatively narrow area of understanding, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, I read up about this a little bit on the golf course when it came up, and I think you can do it, but they recommend very strongly against it. I don't want the National Register to become a commercial advertisement for folks that are still producing things.
All right, thank you.
Okay, next.
Yeah.
Another 1940s.
Yes, the Johnson residence.
Yes.
Yeah. Different Johnson.
Yes.
Is this also 17th century? Is this also 17th century? Might be. I'll have to check. We'll see in a minute. This is the Frederick and Alice Johnson residence, which is down at the bottom of Diamond Head, 216 Kulamahu Place. It was built in 1940, this one. And the architect for this was Vladimir Osipov, so it's one of his earlier houses that he did after meeting Theo Davies and before the war. It's significant on the local level under Criterion C. It's a good example of a modern-style house built in Honolulu during the 1940s. As a good example of Osipov's residential work in the pre-World War II period. I found it interesting doing the research on the house. Mr. Johnson was, at the time the house was built, the vice president of the Honolulu Rapid Transit Authority. And
back then,
within a year of this house being built, Osipov got the commission to design their office building, which is no longer, which was on Alapai Street. And so probably through that working relationship. And Mr. Johnson obviously was a very well-respected transit engineer, because by 1950, he is president of HRT, and then he will leave and go to your home state of Colorado and work there for a number of years elsewhere. And he's in the National Transit Authority
Hall of Fame,
which I have to say I've never visited.
Too bad we couldn't have kept him here. We might have had a surface transportation system.
Maybe. But there's only two other Osipov houses from pre-World War II that are on the Hawaii Register. And one is the Betcher Estate in Kailua. And then there's one house out in Kahala, which was done for the Blacks. So this would be a third house, and this one's a little bit different.
Okay, next. Did he do the Betcher house on his own, or was he still working with?
No, he's on his own on that.
That's 35?
35 or 36, yeah. And he, that one obviously was doing more a Hawaiian style, the double
Hawaii movie. Style.
Hawaii style, excuse me. Thank you. But by 1940, he's going more modern, even a more modern house. Again, pit roof rather than a double pitch hip roof, horizontal lines. He'll be using local materials. The chimney and also the paving on the lanai is all this lava rock brick. Mr. Johnson picked that up somewhere, so they must have been using it somewhere along the rapid transit route. but I saw it because we don't have the plans for the house, but we have the specifications for the house. And the specifications were lava rock brick procured by owner.
That's very interesting. It's like the Hawaiian dredging using the Chinese ballast stone.
Yes.
Over there on Kapahulu.
Exactly. Okay, it has a nice double car garage. Oh, here's the rear of the house. Again, the house is essentially, you have your living room, dining room wing, kitchen's going out this way, bedroom wing running down here. Here's the lanai, which I have a building permit for that says Katie's company, Lamont Freethanes, expanded the lanai. And Katie did find me some drawings. So they said they also remodeled the kitchen. But the drawings show the kitchen where it's not. So I'm thinking that that remodel never happened.
Did you take this with the drone?
Yes, Kiku.
Wow. Did she really?
Yeah.
I thought maybe you got it off a real estate page.
No,
I was joking.
No, Kiku got her drone license.
Wow. What a system.
But here's from the steps going down, you can see the lava rock brick block. And also, this is a copper railing that's running down for the handrail. You have the streets above, sits below the street. And so you have also the lava rock brick use in the retaining wall here as well. Here's the front entry. I really like this, I don't know if I want to call it rippled or corrugated glass, but it's a very nice touch. Just to your left, I think next picture shows it better. Next, oh no, go back, sorry. Uses pipe railings, very modern. The little box to your left in the picture is a wood box to service the fireplace. So you don't have to bring the wood inside. You can load it here and then take it out on the other side.
Oh, cool.
And here, when you go in the house, this is your entryway. You have your living room at this level, then you drop down to a second level, then drop down again to the lanai.
So it's scored concrete floors?
Yeah, scored concrete floors. And I'm sorry, I didn't put a picture in. It also has scored Kanex ceilings, which are a larger score, but also on the diagonal.
Oh, interesting.
And so, and here you can see the doors, the fireplace. Just to the left, you can see the firebox where you can pull your wood out of. Also, built-ins. He has built-in bookcases. I'm sorry, the picture wasn't big enough to show both sides. And here you have storage. These I found interesting. You can't pull it. It's a push lock. And so you have to push it. So he just stuck that there for what? I don't know.
Confused, yeah.
But there is some others that have the pulls. Here's to the right of the fireplace is a box bay window, which has storage underneath it, bookcase on either side, the original casement windows. And also here's a coat closet right next to the entry. And this one is, again, also a push lock. You cannot just... Oh, just open it. No.
Like the kind they have at Lillestrand.
Yeah, exactly. And here's the original sliding doors that go out through the lanai. I found it interesting, again, these are original, quite sure. And it's JBL Hawaii. And so then here's the lanai looking out onto the backyard. The hallway to the bedroom runs down off the lower level, right by the lanai. To your right, you can just see a little shelf there, and that we can see in a minute. There's a little telephone nook, but you can't see it in the picture, but on the wall you can't see is a door that goes into the front bedroom. And then the front bedroom, the next bedroom are connected by a bathroom. It still has its original doors, original cabinets, even original sink. And there's a door that goes out to the outside. So if you're coming from the beach, this is one house away from the ocean. And you can come back and go into the bathroom this way. And the second bedroom, very nice. Ossipop's already started to play with ventilating the hallway bedroom. This is the middle bed. The front bedroom has windows on two walls. Obviously, the middle bedroom can't. So he ventilates with cutouts up on the wall, which you can see here goes out into the hall. And then you have sliding windows there. No, these ones actually work. These aren't push. These ones you have to open that way, but has storage the whole length down. And then the master bedroom are the major alteration to the house. They put a door in the back and they redid the windows in the corner. But this is not visible from the street compared to the rest of the house. I think it's very minor. But they do have the bathrooms. It has a his and her dressing area with the bathroom in between. And that has all the built-ins that Ossipop had in there. Big chest of drawers is the man's side. The woman has just a little vanity. And but they also both have this area here as well for storage. Then they have closets on either side. I like the handles. And the bathroom has been remodeled, but it still has the ceiling light above the shower. And here's the dining room, which goes off the other side of the living room. Again, scored concrete floor. And this scoring will reflect the ceiling, which has a tray ceiling. And a nice corner window, built-in buffet in the corner. And a very funky ceiling light. And then the door going into the kitchen off that. And the kitchen still has original cabinets and the drawers. It's room to reach under the floor, open the drawer and have holes. It also has an ironing board built in. It's still there. It's 1940s would have been very much part of it. And I like this. This is in the maid's room. There's a maid's room off the kitchen and has these louvered doors. But rather than how they... these are bifold, but you have a little latch to open it with. So that's that. So it's very, very much intact house and very meticulously done. I thought a good example of Ossipoff's work from 1940.
Thank you, Don. Any questions for Don?
I guess the only question is, would be at some point, maybe it's not going to be easy to sort out architectural style when we get into this period, right? I mean, it is a sort of Hawaii version of some version of Hawaii modern, but then because of the roof, it has more of a ranch style look to it. Yeah.
Transitional modern.
I don't think that's bad, actually.
Pre-war.
Hawaii transitional
modern. Transitional Hawaii modern. Yeah, interesting.
I guess it would be Caps Modern, right? Sophie, Caps Modern?
Oh,
yeah. Lowercase, transitional, yeah. Hawaii Modern or something?
Uh-huh. Pre-modern? Sure. We got postmodern.
No, not postmodern.
No, so we got pre.
Postmodern.
Much later, so pre-modern. Early modern.
Anticipatory early modern. Modern. Yeah. Anticipatory modern, right?
How far in does that lava rock brick? So it goes kind of to the front door, huh?
Yeah, and then it comes out again.
Looks like it's used on a wall too, right? Mm-hmm. Is it used on a wall or is that just lava rock?
It's used on the retaining walls also.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But the back wall is not. It's really the lava rock.
Lava rock, okay.
Mm-hmm. On the back of the property. Yeah, you can't see it from this
one. He uses that from a couple other houses later too. The same lava rock brick floor entryway.
Oh, he did.
Pauling House has that.
Oh, really?
That's decades later.
Is that a cut material or
it's
cut
block. Yeah, it's quite nice.
Yeah,
it's
good. Mm-hmm.
So like pavers.
Yeah.
Essentially, it's like pavers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not used on the chimney. Huh?
No, it's on the chimney too.
That is the same, just the light changes it. Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Red dirt there. Cool.
All right. Any other questions? Okay. Somebody like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion. I'd like to make a motion to, register the Frederick and Alice Johnson residence to the Hawaii Historic Registry under Criterion C and forward it on for national
consideration
yep. As well. I gotta write this down.
Doing this all day. Thank
you, Graham. Okay. I'll second that.
Thank you, Nick. Okay, any further discussion? Okay, on favor, placing the Johnson residence on the Hawaii Register and forwarding on to National for consideration. Thank you, Don.
Great handwrap, too. Mm-hmm. Is all the furniture original to the house? No.
I'm so lady from California. So how do you just have it to move in?
It's not local, Walter Lamb. It's imported.
All right, thank you. Okay, Liberty Bank.
Two things at once.
The Liberty Bank is on the National Register already as part of the Chinatown Historic District. Dean Sakamoto owns it, I think you're aware of that. And working for rehabilitation, and he'll be wanting the federal rehabilitation tax credits eventually.
So is this a part one? A part one for the application form?
It was built in 1952, and this is the second Ossipoff building we have for today. Next. And it's significant at the local level under Criterion C. It's a good example of a modern-style bank built in Hawaii during the 1950s. It's also significant at the local level under Criterion A for its associations with the history of banking in Hawaii. Originally, this, well, as the title says, this is Liberty Bank. Liberty Bank was started in the 1920s. It was started to service the Chinese community and stayed in business until, you know, some denominations in the 70s, I think, when it was taken over by American Savings alone and eventually became American Savings Bank.
So it's originally called Liberty Bank.
Originally it was Liberty Bank.
Interesting that. Like Liberty House would be a post First World War thing too, yeah, right?
So is this actually? I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, but you're right. But it wasn't because of any Amtrak.
No German owned it before.
Totally. There was another Chinese bank that had started earlier, which didn't do well, and then this one came in was successful. I had around four or five branches. They had quite handsome buildings actually. This was the main office once they had this one built, but there was one earlier, which is up on King Street and has sort of a rounded corner. And also Bauer Bank on Reliha Street, which is First Hawaiian, it's shut down now. That was another Liberty Bank. Okay. So this obviously is Ossipoff, the band windows above are original fenestration, but no longer original windows. The windows have been replaced at some point in the past. The downstairs, the window on Mauna Kea Street, looking out, that's original still. Then you have your entry in the front, which has sort of Chinese, motifs associated with it. Next. Here you can see, it has stainless steel columns going up, stainless steel railings below, also artificial stone using for the framing. Marble is above. You can see there's still a little piece of it left over here that this covered the spacio at one time. Originally, the bank was entered here, but then it was altered and came up from the side. But they kept the same aluminum type window doors that were part of the building. No, well, not the original, but the original doors were aluminum, so were these.
And the columns are stainless steel, not aluminum?
I'm pretty sure they're stainless steel.
Wrapped in this stuff.
Yeah, probably. I don't think solid.
No.
You go in through the side, through the corner entry, and have a all terrazzo floor, steps going, wind up to the main banking hall. Here in the next slide. Then the main banking hall has the original teller, stations. There's a mezzanine up above, which had been closed in. Dean's taking that all back and opening it all up again now. He's still working on that. You can see here in Asahat, you'll bring this wall in from the outside. With, again, the next picture too shows where, again, he's bringing the lower level of brick into the inside to penetrate. And then here, this is a side entry off Mauna Kea Street. Again, this is all original aluminum still. Here he still has the original handrails from going down, downstairs, and downstairs still have the original vaults, although much of that has been changed. The second and third floors are all changed. Originally, they were double stacked offices, and now it's all been wiped out and it's all open office space. That's it.
Okay.
I've had a chance to be there. You've been there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any questions?
Any questions, Nick?
So it's correct. Did on the National Register as like its own building or part of
it's part of the district?
Part of the district.
The Chinatown? Yes. Chinatown district.
Does it fit the time period for the Chinatown district?
Oh.
Maybe
52. Yeah, 52.
It might not be.
I'm thinking not.
So it's within the district, but not a contributing element?
That's the way it would be treated. But they were very, back in the 70s, they were very sloppy. They'd pick a few buildings as
oh,
they
indicate. Well, redoing that.
Wasn't even a contributing building
in the district.
Well, that's
late 30s.
Saying that in the 30s.
Yeah.
Well, but that was like 37 or something, right?
Yeah. Is that nomination still being redone?
Chinatown was done once, redone once already by Art Communication for the rail. But it needs to be done again because they didn't do the traditional cultural landscape part of it. So it's still just a historic district that is related to being the oldest Chinatown in Hawaii and its architecture. It doesn't have any of the information that it used to be.
Did they change the period of significance at the time they did it?
And they didn't change the boundary either. And we wanted them to consider broadening it a little bit more because of the continued use as a China, like as a culturally recognized Chinatown, and how the district has sort of expanded beyond that to rebuild the mid to late 20th century.
So this could be, in terms of the form, could be added as a continuation sheet to the original nomination form, but then you would end up doing the part one,
exactly.
The part one application for the,
if not more.
But it has everything that would be in a regular nomination form. So there's no place to put your name on a continuation sheet, so I don't know. Your name. But it's no way to know who did it. That's funny. Yeah.
Further questions? Okay.
Not sure if we're going to nominate as this individual property then, right?
No, that's what it is.
I move that the Liberty Bank be listed in the Hawaii Register of Historic Places. Under criterion C, and that it be
NA.
And that it be submitted to the National Register of Historic Places for its review.
One second.
Thank you.
And Bill, that's as an individually listed property as part of the district.
In,
I think as an individual. Individual listing.
As an individual listing.
Yeah, we would have to update the district nomination for it to be included in the district. So it would be an individual property listed in the Hawaii Register, but it's also geographically located within the boundaries of the historic district, but it doesn't contribute to that district.
Unless you're redefining how the time period for the district.
Yeah, but that's a whole, that'll be a separate.
So then, Bill, your motion includes some as amended language to make sure that.
Did you do it as an individual nomination?
I did it as individual.
He did it as individual.
Okay. Sorry, I misunderstood.
Okay.
So we have a motion.
Yes, have a motion. Yes.
Seconded.
Right. And I think we finished our further discussion. So all in favor? Yep. You're done.
Thank you.
Okay, so next is the McLean residents.
Okay. Thank you for coming. Thank you. Nice to have an audience.
That was a very
interesting experience, actually, for the
education.
Is this you also?
Yes. This is the Peter and Nellie McLean residents. He's at 3240 Noella Street, so up on top. Actually, that's the total end of the road there. And this one is also in 1940. This one's done 1945. I was surprised to find they actually pulled the permit at the end of 1944. Which I hadn't even realized that they were allowing for building to be happening during that period. But I guess the war was enough in control that they felt okay to start releasing
I've never figured that out, but like the Venus Hair Place was built like in 42.
Oh.
The one there across from Times.
On Kamiki,
on the Wailea Avenue.
Oh, really?
And a lot of buildings, for people were doing them, maybe sans permit.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe they got the permit before December 7th, 1941. They might have the permit prior.
What's that?
They might have gotten the permit prior.
Possibly, but I think when I talked to the owners, they said they had built it because of the proximity of all the nurses.
That's interesting.
The nurses were living in Chaminade.
Yeah, no, this one, I saw the permit. So it was December of 44, and Mark Father is the architect for it. So it's an early example of his regional style continuing. Okay, example of his regional style. Again, for Hawaii Register, consideration for the national, the local levels, Criterion C is a modern style. I was rendered in a Hawaii regional manor built in Hawaii during the 1940s. And so it's a large property. Here's the end of Noella Drive, the street. It comes under both names always. Here's the house. Essentially, this wing, the living room is on the first floor here. The rest of it's bedroom on the second and also bottom of the first. So this way for your dining room, your kitchen, then they have maid's quarters and a garage. This is all single story. This is two story. And the house, it goes all the way back. The apartments we like.
Up here, sure.
That circle.
Pule Circle?
Pule Circle. Where am I? Huh?
Yeah, okay.
It goes back there. There's parking for apartments back there.
Oh, wow. Right.
So it extends all the way down to there. It's a big piece of land.
Oh.
Here's the house. Again, you're looking at the two-story bedroom wing and then the single-story dining kitchen wing. Here they have a corner entry going into the living room. It's a Dutch door. She has nicely detailed these seating panels. Next slide. Here you can get a better view of that door. And I like, he has a trellis on the right, but he also extended the trellis over the door, but solid, so for protection. I thought it was an interesting idea. And the lady here was happy we didn't come yesterday. The water runs down the driveway and flooded her living room.
Threat to safety. A threat to our safety.
Yes. This goes. Again, this is all concrete brick on the first floor. He does nice things. This is the doorway which goes out to the driveway, but it's from the kitchen. And again, framed it nice with the little block for the ventilation, shielded the garbage area. And then here is the living room, typical Mark Potter, very detailed woodwork, very clean. Again, maybe you can just sort of see it. Will you feel echo the front door, the paneling here as well. This is slight recess here. Mirrors on either side, but nicely beautiful. And then the other side of the living room is totally open with sliding doors. Then here's looking back from the fireplace. They were just moving in, so it's a little cluttered in the living room. Again, you can see the door on the right and sliding windows at that end. Go back just for a second, Gloria. You can't see it, but just here is an entryway into the dining room, which is an open flat arch wall entry. Then here is the dining room. I really like, he has triple hung windows, which are on the driveway side, then sliding doors, woven wood, going out to the lanai. The far door goes into the kitchen area.
Is that acid stained concrete?
Acid stained concrete.
Green. That's nice.
And then here is the lanai out back. The Egyptian columns, she stored them somewhere.
Persian, right?
A Persian, right? Okay.
Like the ones at Shangri-La with the double capital, okay. Right?
No, I don't think it's a double capital. I think, well, maybe you're right. Yeah. Okay. So what was sleep, though, I think?
Persepolis? Maybe?
Persepolis had the double ionics.
I had a double comb, but I don't remember the
capital. But she scored these out of some restaurant that went out of business. I didn't know it in the form. So originally they were all pipe columns. And so she just, I can make these a little nicer, but I don't think it really detracts that much. Part of the lanai is enclosed, the rest of it is open. And here you can see the back going out. There's a large monkey pod in the backyard. It's also a very large clean area. And very open. And upstairs, this is the second floor hallway. Again, these are double hung windows here. Neither end of the hallway, there's doors that go into the two bedrooms. And next. This is the front bedroom. That is Princess Ruth's bed, or one of her beds. She said she's not sure if she slept in there or not, if she slept in this bed or not, but it definitely was part of Ruth's estate.
I always heard she didn't sleep in her own house. She slept in a grass house.
But McLeans were the first owners of the house. The second owners of the house who still own the house is the Trotter family. And Fred Trotter is a descendant of James Campbell, and this Campbell estate was also a Bishop estate trustee. And so, here's the room again. Again, good ventilation with double hungs. Built-ins in the closets are very nice. And then you have a doorway going into the bathroom. Rather than having usually shared bathrooms, there's actually two bathrooms in this house. And so here you can see how large the bathroom is. Again, Kanex ceilings throughout, which are original. And then built-ins in the bathroom as well. This is not paper, like this is wood. The poles on this one.
And then I suspect the sink is not the original style.
I'm not sure. Yeah. Then sliding doors, they're just slide, going out to lanai. So balcony on at the end of the bedroom next. And here you can see outside to the bedroom. And this one has decorative screens.
Aliconia, is that what it would be?
Huh?
Aliconia pattern? Is that what it would be?
Maybe, I'm not sure. This is the second bedroom. And again, you can see the built-in closets, sliding doors going out. And again, the one eye, this one doesn't have any screens. This picks up the back. She's using this as a bed and breakfast. I did check. If I had people coming, I'd contemplate here. It's cheaper than Waikiki hotels. and that's it.
Questions for Don?
I'm not too familiar with Mark Potter. Do you?
Okay, yes. Potter is very... Mark Potter is a direct descendant of Christopher Wren. You might be familiar with him.
Okay.
I guess it's back to the 17th century.
Yes, exactly. And Potter came to Hawaii in the teens with his parents. They migrated from Australia and came up here. His father was a building contractor, and Potter went into architecture and opened his own office in the 1920s. And Kilohana on Kauai, the big Wilcox house, which is now
Gaylord's.
Yeah, Gaylord's and the stores. That's one of his houses. He's worked a lot in Tudor revival stuff.
Or English arts and crafts, I guess. Yeah,
it is. He also, right across the street from this house is the Gates residence, which is another local style, double pitch hip roof. But again, immaculately interior walls, done nicely, a lot of built-ins, very high attention to detail. And this is then the third one that's on the register is Lanikai. It's the Eichelberg house, which he did a 1950s renovation of the first floor. It was originally a Cook residence. And then and that one too is all the same kind of light blonde wood, very well detailed.
Mission Children's?
Right? Yes, he did Mission Children, not Mission Children's, he did Mission Memorial, not the original, the second
building. The second building over there.
Also, the Georgia. State Archives building, but that's his son, Father and Potter.
Bilger Hall?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know Bilger?
Yeah.
Nicely designed, modern, this building.
Yeah,
it's someone who has not been studied enough.
Yeah.
But he has
a lot of significant work.
Quality group.
There are two signs now for Bilger, as you know.
Yeah. Yep. Can't miss it now.
In case you don't know.
Thanks, Don. Mark Potter. Welcome up.
Bye.
New man for you to study.
I gotta, dive into Don's writings.
Further questions for Don? Somebody like to make a motion?
My turn. Okay. I'd like to make a motion that the McLean residence be registered on the Hawaii Historic Registry under criteria C and recommended for consideration for the National Registry of Historic Places.
Thank you.
I'll second it.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, all in favor of placing this on the Y register, consideration for national. Thanks, Don. Okay, Spalding residence.
Yes. This is a PH one. All
right.
Been there.
Phil Jr. and Karen Spalding residence of Pietra. At the time the house was purchased by the Spaldings, Mr. Spalding is head of Molokai Ranch. And he had just come off a divorce and he was living with his first wife at Kahala, in the apartments down there. But then he moved up here with his second wife. It was built 1971. Louis Purcell, the architect. Next. It's being considered at the local level, and the Criterion C is a good example of a luxury modern style townhouse built in Honolulu during the 1970s. It's also significant under Criterion A, its associations with the development of townhouses, its associations with historic preservation, which we went over last month. Here's the house. It looks just like all the others. The people that bought this house did a very conscientious rehabilitation of the house. This house was remodeled extensively in the 1980s. And these people tried to bring it back to a degree. It won't be perfect, but it'll be better than it was. Next. This is what the house looked like when the people bought it. This is the real estate picture for the house. This is looking towards the front. The previous owners had enclosed the mezzanine totally. They had taken out the bar and actually made it a little niche going back in. They had removed the powder room. And actually, you can see here, like here's where you usually come in. They put the stairs to the second floor here and took out the regular stairs as well. And so there was major changes that have been made to this house. Here's the stairs from the 1980s going in, upstairs, powder room bomb. Next. The dining room also, they took out the lava rock wall and the column at the corner as well. The people when they bought the house, that's not big. We'll just take the cladding off. They took the cladding off and found there was no lava rock wall left. Next. Also outside on the lanai, they built this little add-on from their dining room. And also people reduced what was all the way windows to accommodate just standard size sliding doors. Here you can see starting to work on the house. Next, they did restore this wall totally, put the windows back. Next, they put the stairway back. It's a modern stair, but it's the same stairs, the same number of treads still going up, turn to the right. They put in a new wet bar. It's not the original, but it's back. It's not a niche anymore. Restored the bathroom, the powder room, put this hallway back, which had been closed off. Next. And they restored all the lava rock as well. And also upstairs, they opened the mezzanine back up, and also the doors going out to the balcony on the mezzanine. Next picture, they had looked like this. They had enclosed that whole thing, so they reopened that as well. So they've done a lot. So here it is, back restored. The door windows were still there. The association wouldn't let them take out the windows, but they had so deteriorated because of the wall that they had to replace and put new ones in. But again, they replaced in kind.
So from the outside, did it still look like the windows were there? Were the wall inside?
Yeah, the wall was inside.
I was going to say, I was surprised that they would let them in, close that, but they had left the windows.
Yeah, okay. They left the windows.
Well,
so they've done a very good, diligent job, I think, on bringing back this house to at least a good sense of what it was. And so I'm recommending that it be approved.
Okay, questions for Don?
No.
Don, could you maybe highlight a little bit more some of the historic fabric? You know, the things that weren't restored, but you know, continue
to. Historic fabric was non-existent before the renovation. Except the door, the front door.
Well, the exterior and the shell of the building. The
exterior was all there, yes. That is all there. It still is all there. On the interior, like I said, they had to start over from scratch on the interior, essentially. But I think they did a good job of opening up the house again. They did a good job of trying to bring back the footprint to what it was.
So the materials stuff too.
It's interesting they'd have the same number of treads since they're dictated by code. Since it's dictated by code, right? Oh,
is it? I guess. Well, my house isn't.
When I did my renovation, they came out and measured every tread.
Wow.
You know, I guess from looking at some of these other properties, you know, for me, the use of space and, you know, the inside outside and all that is kind of really the character defining feature. You know, I guess to my colleagues, my question is with these multi-property nominations, how are those normally handled? You know, because I feel sometimes that I'm a bit at a loss because, you know, I was not there for the original nomination of these houses. I'm kind of taking them on case by case rather than collectively. So I appreciate when Don came back and talked to us a little bit, you know, about the one property that we turned down. And that's kind of what was, you know, sticking with my head is feeling that I think I'd know a lot better on how to evaluate these if I kind of understood the broader context. But I also, you know, I don't want Don to have to come in here, you know, every meeting and give us the same, you know, La Pietra discussion.
I guess we are in new territory. It's something new for us. And they are individually taxed in individual lots, but they're all individually being listed, but part of not a district, but as a multi-property nomination. So I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah, I think Don's talk last time was informative. And particularly, I think like the, you kind of called out what, you know, it's not necessarily the interior features, meaning like the materials and things like that, that are contributing factors, but really about that kind of like indoor-outdoor connection that Nick was just talking about, the layout, the mezzanine, these kind of like spatial arrangements was kind of the main part of it. So for these owners to bring that all back, I think is good.
Especially a lot of rock wall. That's a big.
Yeah, rebuilding that. Yeah.
And it's done nicely too. It's not just slapped out.
Couldn't tell, you know.
Yeah.
Significant element.
Even the wood banding above the doorways and can you go back like two pictures maybe? Yeah, on that. Mm-hmm. So that wall, was that underneath the drywall that had been in there?
No. Or
they put that back. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, for purposes of moving it along, maybe I will make a motion that the Spalding residents in the La Pietra townhouse development area be listed on the Hawaii Register of Historic Places under criterion C.
And A.
A. Oops. Sorry, I have a mental block on that. And that it be, are we listing them in the National Register? And that it be also forwarded with our recommendation to the National Register for their consideration.
Thank you. One second.
Nick, did you just second it?
Yeah, I'll second it.
Okay, thank you. All right, any further discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Thank you, Don.
Okay. Wong residence. Is this you also, Don?
Yes.
Yeah. A chair worm.
This is the last 1940s house.
Good.
This window right here, was that the window on the front side? From that, the window that they knocked out, like this one, the one they replaced, this portion, was that this window here from the first picture with the wall?
Yeah. Oh, that was with the wall.
Behind it. That's why it looks so blank.
That's a real picture. That's just drapes.
Oh, okay. That's recent.
I took that picture.
Oh, okay. So that's recent.
I was like, oh, okay. So there's the, that's what it would have looked like.
No, that's not what it would have looked like. I don't know what it was. That was just curtains.
Okay. Yeah, I was just curious. Thank you.
Okay. This is the Bunny and Lily Wong residence. It's down at... behind Kapiolani Park, off Noella Drive. We did the house across the street a number of years ago. There was a judge that moved in.
I remember that.
Yeah. And this is on the other side of the street.
Sort of near where the fire was, right? Not too far from where the fire was, right?
A few blocks.
It is? Okay.
Because this is down, because you're going up Noella and making a left. It's the first time I've left Noella. It's in Nicola. The house was built in 1940. It was not built for the Wongs. The house was built, I think Mrs. Harris is the original owner. It was built in 1940. She built it as a rental unit and advertised, mentioning that looking for naval officers to rent the house. And obviously somewhat successful, but within a year she sold it and somebody else bought it and again rented it. And someone else bought it. I think there was three owners over the course of the 19, during World War II. And then the last one kept it till 52 or 50, I can't remember which, when the Wongs bought the house. And then the Wongs lived in the house till their death. Mr. Wong was a welder at Pearl Harbor Shipyard. It's being nominated as a good example of a modern style house built in Honolulu during the 1940s. Again, maybe you'll have another name for it, but I call it modern.
I think modern's probably right.
Yeah, because they're no longer in a traditional form. Next. This house is a very small house, very modest. I find it very interesting. It sort of upset me. I went back to look for the building permits because in the department, they have like from 52 forward, but they also have on microfilm stuff from the late 30s through the 52. For some reason, there's a span in 1940 they don't have anything for. And this unfortunately fell in that span. So I don't know who the builder is. I don't know who the architect is or if there is an architect. It's rather a strange house to me in some ways in that it has three different level roofs. They're all gable roofs. Here's the main gable roof. And under this roof is the living room and the kitchen. Half the bedroom wing is under this roof, the front bedroom. The rear bedroom is under this roof, which is again at an even lower level than this roof, which is lower than this one. And I'm not sure what they're doing, but it's interesting. But it's definitely all one house because Mrs. Harris is advertising two bedrooms. So both the bedrooms were there.
And you looked at the tax assessor records as well, because they sometimes will mention the permit and the architect, right?
Sometimes. No, they don't have it for this one. Uh-huh. I may have got the permit before, but then when they went to get the permit, it's gone.
Okay.
Or it's missing the whole...
Yeah, they lost a reel or something.
Yeah. Here's the back of the house. It has a lanai on the back. Here's the rear bedroom wing. And this one is actually hip rather than a... or hip gablet, where the rest of them are both gables in the front. The owner of this house, again, got all excited. Oh, I really like old Hawaii houses. I'm sorry he's not here to talk to you. He's in Taiwan now. He works down there in a medical place. But he says, I love old, and I love these little small houses. And he actually did a major restoration work on this house as well. And this was restoration. Previous owners, after the Wongs died, to maximize profit, turned the lanai into a bedroom. So it was enclosed. They took out the doors. They took out the sliding windows. It cost them a good chunk of change to put both of these back. But he did. And,
they were on premises, or did he have to buy?
He had to fabricate. So he fabricated both of these, although the roofs were still there. And here's the other view of the kitchen. He has a tin ceiling in this room. The rest of the house is all Kanak, but there's a tin ceiling on this in the living room. But all the redwood walls are all intact. It's a scored concrete floor. It's colored. I don't know if we're calling it acid stained. It's not that same luster that you got out of earlier houses. But the kitchen is there. Next. Oh, that's the last slide. We have more slides?
No, I pressed the wrong button.
Oh, okay.
I pressed the end button instead of the next button. No worries. There you go.
Here's the kitchen, which, again, is the Wongs. I think we did the kitchen in the 50s. And so it has a 50s kitchen. Jalousies and then the Wongs did replace windows, which probably were double hung with jalousies at some point after they purchased the house, right? Going to discussion of the jalousies in the form and feel that it is typical of this period, not 1940, but directly after that. And the period of significance I include going up to when the Wongs did the remodel in the house. Next.
This is
that's the next one. Okay, yeah. Going out towards the lanai. And then you can see the lanai, and then on the right, you can see the doorway going into the bedroom, which, put the long slide here. There's the lanai. Again, and then nice on the side, the water heater is in a little box, and I like the little cutouts they use to ventilate the water heater. Still has its concrete sink, and I think I have the picture of the sink in also. Yeah, so the first one I've seen with a manufacturer's mark on it. I haven't been able to find out who they are. I Googled it without success, but I found it interesting. Oh, yeah, now we know who is making these, at least some of them. And then here you can see going into the bedroom wing, you have a sliding door which goes in one step up. Again, have all the original floors for the bedrooms as well. Kanak ceilings in here. The closet, we have built-in chest of drawers, and a little mirror built-in. It's the original single panel doors with the original knobs still intact. And then next, again, built-in bookcases in the room with now what was a corner window, now jalousy. And then the second bedroom also has some built in. This one they painted. He didn't bother to take the paint off this room.
You think it was painted originally?
No, I'd imagine it was probably like the front bedroom and the rest of the house. But the sliding windows up above are original. Interesting. This is built 1940. And yes, the final slide has the little lock, which has Japan labeled, and so I know it was there before the war, because after the war it says made in occupied Japan, you know, but it's still something Japan seemed to have a corner market on. So that's, I think it's a really good example of a very nice, modest little house. I didn't include the picture of the garage, I probably should have, that was original also. It's a carport with pipe railing. And,
I know those Eva. The Eva plantation houses all had natural interiors.
Yeah.
But were like late 30s.
Mm-hmm.
So when did jalousy, glass jalousies first be introduced to Hawaii?
1948. But the guy who did it invented them down in Florida. He did it before World War II. And one of the first uses of jalousies is at Guantanamo, the naval hospital there. But It was all wood jousts there. And then after World War II, the Navy hired me to go out and do work in the Pacific. And that's how we found out about it, because he was visiting through here. And then they started stocking these jousts, and then other people started coming in. It was a very easy patent to steal, and it was stolen a lot. And he never bothered to chase it.
My old house was built in the 30s, and it had they weren't operable jalousies. They had slots in the casing, and they had glass in the slots.
Right.
Is that an earlier treatment?
That's an earlier treatment, yes. I think, well, the Johnson residence, which I think you've seen, the Japanese style, the bathroom has that also. Mm-hmm. And I think the house I'm having next time, another 1940s house, has that also.
Learn something every day.
Any further questions for Don?
Either yours or Nick's turn, I think.
Yeah. Has Nick done one?
Not for a while.
No questions from me.
Great. Anybody like to make a motion?
Rock, paper, scissors, Nick? No, I'll do it. I'd like to... make a motion to register the Wong residence on the Hawaii Historic Places Registry under criterion C, and forward along our recommendation for the National Registry to consider.
Thank you.
I will second it and also make a motion on the next one.
There you go. Okay.
Thanks, Nick. Okay. Any further discussion? Okay, all in favor? Thank you, Don.
Yes, thank you. That's all you have to listen to.
Good job.
Buy that man a drink.
Okay. Next is the Beer's House.
Beer's House.
There's Stanley.
Thank you for your patience, Stanley.
Oh, following up after Don. I think I can do so good.
But
anyway.
Don't play modest with us. Your nominations are very thorough.
This is William W. Beer's House.
Yeah, it's always cold. I got a jacket too.
This thing off is been great.
Hope it's on solar.
Well, the sun's not helping us at all today, probably.
So Don, thankfully, processed for alterations, because this particular building has them. You can go to the next slide. The William W. Beer's House is being nominated to the Hawaii Register of Historic Places under criteria A and C. It's been prepared to recognize the significance of this property. It is a notable example of the minimal traditional style dwelling. The Craftsman influences. It was designed by Armina Louise Morse Eller, the first woman with a professional degree in architecture, who's now who resided in Honolulu and engaged in professional practice. The house was built by contractor A.S. Canton in the Manoa Valley for the short-lived Light Building Corporation, and sold it to Beers, a supervisor for the Department of Public Instruction. The building is located on an elevated site in the Manoa Valley. It's oriented northwest to southeast, and because it's on its location, scoping, site, topography, dense vegetation, and natural breezes, contains moderate temperatures indoors and out. And the problem is it's heavily vegetated, so you can't get clear photographs of anything except the park. The building was erected in 1930. It was produced by the Lake Building Corporation, a company that was founded by D&H Lake and financed in large part by executives from the Bishop Cross Company. The Lake incorporated the company on May 21st, 1929 and closed it on January 1st, 1931 during the Great Depression. It was in business for only 17 months. They continue to build houses afterwards. And the last building that he constructed, which was designed by Eller earlier in 1930, was erected at Ranelagh Heights in April 1931. Thanks for that, please. Here we go with semi-Hawaiian.
Oh, there's a term.
Marina Louise Morse Eller lived to be over 100, and she worked as the architect for the Lake Building Company from 1929 to 1930, and probably just a portion of that. She was extremely productive, designed at least 50 dwellings, two apartment buildings, a church, and produced a plan book, the determinant number of design alternatives that Lake used to, as a sales tool. The experience prompted her to leave the field of architecture altogether, and she joined the Department of Public Instruction as an architecture.
Yeah.
I'm going to do the Don stand up. This is an aerial view, and you can see how wooded it is. This is from a drawing set that was actually a permit set that was sent to DPP in 1975. So it shows there's one garage. The plan was for three, but no other garages were built. This is all existing as of 1974. And this is an addition that was planned to be constructed. And this gives you the interior layout. So this is, you come from the street side and you have this long stairway that leads you up through this vegetated topography. You come out here, it kind of flattens out and you can enter the house here as well as the addition from that point. This was a living room, which we'll see in the photographs. Kitchen was here, one bedroom there, one bedroom sharing a bath. And then we've got probably an addition, which was made at an unknown and indeterminate date for a bedroom there, with a bath here. And then this was the last addition, which was, a rectum. Then above, this stairway here leads to a second story, which was turned into a master bedroom. And there were some alterations done in that space as well. These are two views. The front view, as you see as you come up the stairs, is photo one. So it appears to be almost intact. When you get to this side, it would be intact with the exception of these two really narrow columns that have been placed in the middle of the lanai. And there were questions like these when I first came to visit the house, and I visited three separate occasions. I was kind of concerned because there were little things that popped out. But we'll continue. This is looking on photo three, you're looking back towards that and you see the two columns are there again. And technically, there shouldn't be any need given the size of the corner columns there. Then looking as the house comes toward you, you've got a kitchen nook, which occurred sometimes during the period of significance, and I'm calling the POS 1930 to 1974, because it appears on the 1975 drawings as being existent at that time, or from that time period. But we could not find, going through building permanent records, did not find any dates or anything except what was specified in the nomination. Now we've got the addition, which, go back please. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. I thought of four, we have the addition, which is the most recent space that was enclosed on this building. Next slide, please. Going around at 5, fenestration on that corner as you look down. This is towards the back of the building. Corner fenestration is kind of questionable at this point when I'm looking at that facade. 6 appears to be okay. Then we wrap around the house and you're coming back and you're looking at 7 and 8, you're back here where the building looks intact. But it's just, so what you ended up happening here, or what we ended up looking at, we have an addition over near the photo arrow for 5, and we have modifications to the rear. It's showing up in photo, the symbol, other symbols, photo 6. And then once you pass that point and you get to the kitchen nook and you come back forward, then you're okay. Next slide. You wrap around the corner of the house and you're back looking at the proper side. This is the interior of the building. So this is looking at the living room on photo 10. Photo 11, we're looking at a bedroom. And a hall that leads to the bathroom between the two bedrooms, which is photo 12. Photo 13 is looking at another bedroom, which the last bedroom you look at here is a bathroom width, and then a kitchen which has been altered. Fifteen is the bedroom that I just mentioned that the fenestration appeared to be altered on. And then photo 16 is the bath of that bedroom. And 17 is a bath which the front two bedrooms share. This is the stair hall leading to the second floor on photo 18. Photo 19, we're looking at fenestration probably has been changed. And it's looking at a gable end, which they're side facing, so you never see them from the street. And then the skylights in photo 19 are obvious changes as well. I'll leave that up for questions at this point.
I spent part of the morning before coming looking at 1930s houses to see if you had picture windows flanked by sash windows. And oddly enough, you see it in craftsman houses at an earlier period. A lot of the 30s houses like that Stanley showed too have banks of casements or something, but that's not to say this couldn't be original. Possible.
Yeah. Did it seem like most of the windows on this side, did they appear like they're original? On the front side?
On the front side?
Yeah.
And the two.
Yeah.
The window banks that lead to the kitchen, they seem to be all right. Yeah.
And I wonder on the
side. Again, on the back side, that it just looks super questionable.
Yeah.
I'm wondering the side porch, when you see the two columns looking from the Mackay side.
That entry?
The side entry there, the Mackay.
Yeah, one more.
That one there. You do see a division down below into three parts, which suggests that there's something about that. You almost think it might have been glazed at one point. Maybe.
Maybe not with the capitals there, the columns.
But I don't think, it does seem like a long span for this period. You see craftsman houses with that span, but usually in this, as you, I think, accurately call it, would you call it traditional What was the style you gave it? I have it down here. Minimal traditional. Minimal traditional draws from a number. This actually seems, I guess you'd have to say, retarded hair craftsman, which might also explain the window.
Yeah. And that's not occupied space up there, right?
No. Yeah. So possibly they did have this. I mean, these big columns are very craftsman in spirit.
Yeah. That's why.
And the way they come down the all the way.
Don't belong there.
But there could have been something there.
True.
Could have been louvered or. Hmm. Remember the John Guild house? They had a wall of glazing and set in frames to protect the weather side.
Yeah.
Or it could have been interchangeable, like screens and storm windows.
Possibly, yeah. Well, I think it's a neat addition to the oeuvre of Eller, right?
Mm-hmm. There's an Eller last time, right?
Yeah.
One or two?
They had skylights added too, I think. Mm-hmm. There was one last time when Wilhelmina Rise.
Yeah.
In fact, I think Stanley shows that one in one of his pictures, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, I think I believe so.
Uh-huh. And they had added a dormer. A wall dormer.
It's too bad she did so much work and burned out in grid architecture.
And I've already revealed to you that Dean Lake is probably a distant relative of mine. So. But I don't think it requires I recuse myself. But my second cousins are called Lake. And he was from Saxons River. And they're from Grafton right next door. And I saw the paper. I looked him up. And then the local paper, he came back. And they had a homecoming for him in the early 30s.
Anyway, I think that the importance of Eller's work needs to continue getting elevated because we've got lots of addresses, and really what we need to do is do a survey and go see what's
there. Yeah, I think so. Almost like an exhibition or something at this point. There aren't very many named women architects, especially from this early period, right? Mm. Where did she train?
Berkeley. No.
So that's the same as Morgan, right? Julia Morgan started out at Berkeley.
Thank you.
Cool. Any more questions? Stanley? You have anything, Nick?
No questions for me.
Okay. Anybody like to make a motion?
Is this going to the National Register?
Oh, a register only.
Yeah. So I'd like to make a motion to include the Beers House on the Hawaii Register of Historic Places under A and C.
Okay.
I guess that's it, yeah.
Yep. We want to second that?
I'll second it.
Okay, thank you, Bill. Okay, any further discussion? All right, all in favor? All right. Thank you, Stanley.
I want to thank you, Stanley. That was a pleasure to read. Very interesting. I love the background material. I was talking to Sophie. The register's not clear. I talked to one of the guys at the register, and he said it's perfectly okay to embed pictures in the narrative. Sophie thought maybe better at the end, but you had it embedded, right? Or do you have it as a?
It's always additional, I think.
But I asked about that, and I said, yeah, you could put it inside as long as it's not one of your documented. And I still don't know how to handle photo log. Don repeats that whole log on each page, right?
Yeah, but now it changed. They said, yeah, now it's going to be more awkward. I'll make the log. Then just have the pictures 1, 2, 3, so you're gonna have to flip back.
But you might be able to identify the view, right?
Yeah.
You can identify the view. The only thing that needs to go in the log, I think the only thing that goes in the log is the repetitious part, like the same photographer, the same property.
I'll double check, but I think you also.
They aren't clear. That isn't clear at all. I don't think you're gonna be able to find out.
It would make more sense because it's stupid to put it all on the front.
Well, I think it makes sense to at least have the direction.
Well, the old way the denominations used to be done, remember, is that you had your photo log, and then you had the print photograph, and then Park Service required that you write in a very specific type of pen on the back of the photograph.
Right, or a pencil.
And all of that.
Right.
So that you had that right with the image. And then digitally now, they want you to still maintain the separate photo log and then put your photos typically, you can't amend them, but like the documentation photos of the building, they want in like a separate section of your accommodation with it being like captioned with that same information that you would have put on the back.
But you don't, but it says in the instructions, so you don't have to repeat the repetitious part, like the identification of the place, the photographer, if it's the same, the date and things like that. So it sounds like you put that at the beginning in the photo log and then have just the different information, like view from the east or something like that. In the below or above the actual photo.
Yeah, double check it for their digital, because they came up with a supplement to say that their digital photograph.
Can you send me that?
Yeah, I'm going to dig it up. I don't know if they keep it online anymore. They might, but I don't think it's on the main.
They have
it. Okay.
She said she put it on the other form.
Thank you.
Otherwise, why do one, two, three, four, five?
Oh no, you'd have it numbered.
Yeah. What are you gonna put it after the number?
That's a good point.
Yeah, there's no reason that it's just
if you're doing it as a list, you're right.
So I think you have to put the view stuff all the way in.
Well, you have to also understand that these forms by Park Service are being they're taking all that data and running it into the database. And so part of the way that you're asking for the information is so that they're technically going to be copying over the information. So, some of the repetition is necessary.
But Don never got his old ones thrown back when he put them.
Well, Park Service, though, has basically, he put in the house for the Miracle House combination that Stanley did, which was in really great shape. And they sent back all these little things. They essentially said that they were going to, going forward, they would be more cautiously editing or something our nominations, because it sounds like they've given us compared to other states sort of flexibility that they're no longer going to give us. So that may be a piece as well, is that partners changing.
I made an appointment to visit them in June.
Okay. I mean, so to be perfectly honest, you know, for years and years, Hawaii did not submit National Register nominations. I think the reality is that when, 10 years ago, when doing that again, they were so excited. They came up nominations from us that they let some stuff go through that, I mean, when I signed them, certification, I thought, oh, this is gonna come back to us. And they said, no, it's fine. So I think finally after a decade, they decided to go up.
Yeah, and that's where the memos that Sophie's writing that she's giving to you, they're reflective of very giving extreme scrutiny to these nominations in preparation for Park Service to kick them back. Because on our end, if the nominator doesn't make the changes in advance that we've made before they come to you, then that means that we should get put in a difficult spot of having to push the nominator to then make those edits and then forward it on to Park Service, or it just won't cover. So we're getting to that point where it's either you do the changes that we're asking you to make because Park Service is going to require it of us, and you get it listed in the national and state, or we're only going to be listing things in the state register, which then affects our budget when it comes to HPF grant a little bit.
But I suspect as much as they try to tie it together, there's probably a certain latitude, even depending on the reviewers, because when I've talked to some of them, they say, yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, that's probably true. And I think it also depends on trust, too, with the state reviewer.
Uh-huh.
Because working in Michigan, the National Register Program Manager, he okayed it because of his level of scrutiny. The Park Service just did, almost stamp the nomination in because of his level of experience with the program.
But mind you, when you look at ones done 20, even 20 years ago, they're just horrible. And even the HABS reports are slack compared to what we're expecting now. So.
Yeah. Okay. So we have one more nomination. I mean, I realize it's 12:25 now already. So I was going to suggest, unless anybody needs a quick break right now, that we go ahead and do that nomination. Then maybe we have a quick break and then we resume the rest of the meeting.
Yeah, okay. That sounds good.
Okay. Great. So Waimakua Homestead.
That's me.
Oh, Angie. Hi, Angie.
Hi. Let me share my screen here. Okay, are we good?
Yep.
Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Okay, great. Okay, so we've got the Waimakua Homestead. Property is at 5-8061 Kuhio Highway in Haena on the island of Kauai. It's a 20th century territorial plantation style residential family complex. The three homes are characteristic of plantation style with small, simple plans, board and batten siding, steeply pitched roofs, and prominent overhangs with open lanais. As I said, it's in Haena on the north side of Kauai at near the terminus of Kuhio Highway. And the parcel itself is just over 3 acres. You can see here how big it is. And it slopes dramatically from the ocean to the mountains. The lawns, pool, and extensive garden that climb the mountain behind the homes are also contributing elements to the nomination. The Waimakua Homestead is eligible for both its architecture under C and for its longtime owner, Juliet Atwood Rice Wickman under B. Mrs. Wickman was born in 1901 on Kauai. Her father was a territorial politician and rancher, and her grandfather, William Hyde Rice, born to missionary parents, was also a rancher and politician in both the monarchy and the republic governments of Hawaii and was an avid Hawaiian historian. Mrs. Wickman herself was a well-known conservationist, horticulturist, philanthropist, author, organizer, and volunteer spanning 5 decades. In 1999, she was named one of Kauai's most influential people of the 20th century. The Kauai Historical Society issued a resolution in her memory shortly after her death, which said, "For her dedication in preserving Kauai's history for future generations and her foresight in doing so." She was instrumental in the formation of the Kauai Museum. She founded and funded Limahuli Gardens and perpetuated Hawaiian agriculture and culture knowledge through her research and writing. For her accomplishments, in 2008, the National Tropical Botanical Gardens named the Juliet Rice Wickman Botanical Research Center in her honor. This building was also the first LEED Gold certified building on the island of Kauai. And this is the main house. It was constructed in circa 1949 as the primary residence for Mrs. Wickman. It was partially built on the rock foundation of an earlier circa 1930s vacation home that was in poor condition when Mrs. Wickman purchased the property in 1945. The 1949 photograph that you see on the left shows the original configuration of the primary facade of the house that she built on the property. Note the gabled primary suite to the left of the photo there. The photo on the right shows the house in 1955 with the large lanai addition and an expanded primary suite. The house today is much as it was in 1955. The property sits at the base of the Haena Mountains near the Nepali coast and looks north over a wide beach in the Pacific Ocean. As you can see from this photo, the main house appears pretty much exactly the same as it did in that 1955 photo. From the drive court at the rear of the house, you can see the south lanai, this open back lanai, the first floor guest suite that extends towards us. That was built in 1963. And behind that, the steep roof of the stairs that lead to the second floor. Through the south lanai is the kitchen and the breakfast nook. And this is the living room and dining room. And the second photo over here on the right is details the former exterior wall, where there's actually still windows in this wall. And you can just catch a glimpse of the large stone fireplace that was built in 1955 and the open lanai that we saw from the front photo. This is the second floor bunk room. And a partial view of that stairway just right here and the porch, the open porch that's visible on the primary facade. This was where Mrs. Wickman's kids bunked, where the children and grandchildren and maybe even great-grandchildren, I don't know, bunked when they came to visit. This is house number two. House number two was built circa 1955 above an older one-story concrete block garage, originally constructed by the previous owner circa 1930. The small wood frame house sits atop the garage at the base of the property's driveway, directly adjacent to Cujillo Highway, and overlooks the western edge of the manicured lawn that fronts the main house. And then you can see this decorative detail that was built into the front of it with tiles, I believe, that have been painted over. House three was built circa 1954 for visits by Mrs. Wickman's children and her families. And their families. The single-story post and pier house, also in a plantation style, was built to the west of the main house on a steep slope and features exterior stairs up to a lanai on the north side of the house. The house itself is nearly square in footprint. In 1985, they built a non-contributing garage, a matching construction that's located between house three and the main drive on its own separate terrace. These are a couple of additional photos of house number three that shows how site features and site conditions were designed around rather than bulldozed. In this instance, you can see the steep slope of the hill and how the house was built around large existing boulders. The pool and garden are significant contributing elements. In 1958, with proceeds from the filming of the movie South Pacific that was shot partially in her gardens, Mrs. Wickman designed a 5-foot-deep kidney-shaped pool built on the terrace closest to the main house and right above the parking area. You can just see one of those large shells that Kauai is known for, like at Coco Palms, that was a fountain that goes into the pool. So that's the pool. And the extensive gardens take up a large portion of the 3-acre site and was used by Mrs. Wickman for a cultivation and study of flora throughout her 40-year residence on the property. The gardens were featured in national and local magazines and were used, like I said, to film scenes from the 1958 movie classic South Pacific. This landscape survey by Biocultural Design of Kauai identifies many of the plants and site features on the property. So you can see there's a whole network of trails and steps and walls and all of the planting that she cultivated and studied throughout her time on the property. Here's a little bit of a blow up so you can see it better because there's a lot of detail in this. This landscape study, survey rather, is not in the nomination at this time because we just got it this week. So I do plan on putting this in, adding this to the nomination so that, you have a better view of what's actually happening in the gardens. The Waimakua Homestead is significant at the local level under criteria B for Juliet Atwood Rice Wickman, whose contributions to Kauai as a conservationist, horticulturist, philanthropist, author, organizer, and volunteer spanned 5 decades. She was named one of Kauai's most influential people of the 20th century. It's also eligible under C as a good example of vernacular plantation or vernacular plantation residences from the mid-20th century that hearken to the homes built on local plantations during the earlier part of that century. Most notably, the combination roofs with wide sheltering overhangs, board and batten siding, and wide open lanais. The period of significance is from 1947, when Mrs. Wickman got actual control of the property and started work on the gardens and started work on the house, through 1974, which is the 50-year mark. Mrs. Wickman continued her work developing the gardens and writing about Native Hawaiian plants until her death in 1988. The three homes have undergone very minor historically compatible changes over the years and are in excellent condition. Along with the gardens and the pool, they retain a high level of historic integrity. And that's it.
Thank you, Angie.
Thank you, Angie. That's a nice painting. Okay, any questions for Angie?
What do you, we could probably ask the owners here. Do they, the stone walls, are they remnant house platforms in Lo'i, probably?
But not Lo'i, but undoubtedly house platforms and associated features.
Uh-huh, very interesting.
And as we have full-size copies of the map that Angie showed you, if you're interested in looking at it.
It's detailed.
Sure.
Yes, no?
Sure.
Yeah. Sure.
Measurements as well as GPS to accurately depict everything.
Wow.
Yeah. And,
Angie, if you wouldn't mind going back a slide or two to the map so that Nick can see it as he's remote today.
Yeah, sorry.
Thank you.
Nick is our archaeologist. He might have a special interest.
The blow-up version or the
whole
thing?
I was going to ask Chipper and Wendy to introduce themselves.
I'm Wendy Rickman. This is my grandmother. This is my brother, Chipper. Go ahead.
That's me.
Yeah, I had a privilege of being taken under my grandmother's wing in the early 70s, and I just retired after 47 years. The garden is truly part of her legacy, as I think the nomination also reflects. But we got to raise our children on this property, and we were there when my grandmother passed on that property. It's a very much a, it's absolutely just amazing, an amazing place. And the reason we embarked on this after we started working with Angie was we feel that the whole property, including the garden, is part of this nomination, not just the home. And yet it was very difficult to document. You know, I said it earlier when it was talking about the house in 101, it's so vegetated, we can't get good views. Same thing with this. So we decided let's spend the money and truly, this will become a huge resource for our family as well, but really try and document something that shows the network of paths and how this was truly built on a traditional system that existed there well before her.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very impressive to see the map at this scale. So that's why, and as Andrew said, we just got this product, so we're pretty excited to be able to include it in
another
the
another interesting point about the garden is it was featured in the early 60s in a book about America's garden.
Yeah.
So it's actually there's in the nomination you'll see sort of an excerpt from that. it was recognized at that time for as a garden.
That was 1967. The book was Great Gardens of America.
It's nice seeing you both here. Thanks for coming.
Good to see you, Bill. So we really missed this. This is a big day for us to you know, our efforts to try and preserve this. My grandmother left this property to my parents, and just a few weeks ago, my dad just died, almost 99 years old.
I'm sorry. She, I didn't know that.
She was visionary, and as were my parents, and they had gifted this property actually to their four children 2012, so quite a while ago, and now the real full burden of how to protect this property is falling on us. And, we felt this was an important step in trying to do that.
I also want to add that one of my favorite aspects of the pathway through the garden and the pool is she collected little stones, smooth stones and shells. And she created, when they poured the concrete path, she created decorative elements throughout it. And at the head of the pool, up here, right here, she spelled out Kauai Aloha. So it's, you know, we just kept everything the way it was.
And that name, Wendy just pointed out, is the name of the ancient spring. So all that water for the property and the pool comes from an ancient spring that was actually called out by Kamehameha when he's rallying his forces on the beaches of Oahu to come. Tonight we will drink the waters of Bialoha, meet the Alma of Waimakua.
And he had to turn back, right?
Well, the storm took care of him. Not that one. Not him, but his armada.
But the water system for the entire property comes from the spring.
Yeah.
We're not on county water, although we've set up some, down at the road, we've set up pipes for that if we ever got low on water. So it has a kind of a, I don't want to say Jerry rigged, but it's Chipper and whoever.
Jerry rigged.
Wendy rigged.
Grandma created the water system.
Actually, the water system was first put in by Walter McBride, who had the property before my grandmother. And but it was a pretty rudimentary system, and we upgraded it with high-density polyethylene pipes because there's a lot of rocks that fall over there. But yeah, it's a great resource. In 92, after the hurricane, the Red Cross asked us and we ran a pipe down to the road because the single most important thing after the hurricane was not lack of electricity or refrigeration or food. It was the lack of water because all of our potable water is pumped up and there's no energy to pump water. So people came from great distances to get fresh water from our spring.
I guess water was is contaminated after hurricanes too, right?
Well, there's so many broken pipes. It took a long time for the county water system to be fully functional again. Yeah.
Very impressive. So I guess we'll be just the first step in all of this, right? Getting it listed and recognized and then.
Yeah.
You go to National Register as well as
Poster? Yeah.
This is the property we should have demanded a site visit yesterday.
It's not too late.
Oh, we never get a chance to do the other
island. Rarely do we get to do off island. We're in the area, maybe you guys.
Thank you, Andy. Well,
it's great to see two living treasures of preservation right here with us. Yeah. Nice to have.